This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
وَلَقَدْ آتَيْنَا دَاوُودَ وَسُلَيْمَانَ عِلْمًا وَقَالَ الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ الَّذِي فَضَّلَنَا عَلَى كَثِيرٍ مِّنْ عِبَادِهِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. وأدخل يدك في جيبك تخرج بيضاء من غير سوء في تسع آيات إلى فرعون وقومه إنهم كانوا قوما فاسقين. صدق الله العظيم. So yes, the first miracle was conferred upon Sayyidina Musa عليه الصلاة والسلام. He was crowned, blessed, favored with the elevated station of prophethood. الله يصطفي من الملائكة رسلا ومن الناس. It is the grace, the boon, and the mercy of Allah that He favors and blesses someone with the station of prophethood. And surely that is the highest favor that could be conferred upon any person. And remember, Musa alayhi salatu wassalam featured amongst the Ulul Azm prophets. So, just so that we have perspective, the galaxy of prophets are superior to the entire human race. They are the best, the noblest, the cream of Allah's creation. And then within the prophets themselves, there is further ranking. And this is in chapter 2, the opening verses of Juz 3. تِلْكَ الرُّسُلْ فَضَّلْنَا بَعْضَهُمْ عَلَىٰ بَعْضٍ. This is the galaxy of prophets. We've given merit, significance, and superiority to some over others. Likewise, in Surah Bani Israel, Allah says, وَلَقَدْ فَضَّلْنَا بَعْضَ النَّبِيِّينَ عَلَىٰ بَعْضٍ وَآتَيْنَا دَاوُودَ زَبُورًا. Surely we've given elevation to certain prophets over others, and we had favored Dawud alayhi salam with the Zabur. So Musa alayhi salatu wasalam was a Nabi, and he was from amongst the Ulul Azm Anbiya. Ulul Azm Anbiya. As Allah makes mention in Surah Al-Ahqaf in the 26th juz of the Quran, فَاصْبِرْ كَمَا صَبَرَ أُولُو الْعَزْمِ مِنَ الرُّسُلِ وَلَا تَسْتَعْجِلْ لَهُمْ. Okay, that being said, the second miracle that was given to Musa alayhi salam at this time was that of Yad-e Bayda. Now, we need to know and remind ourselves that a miracle is the proof of prophethood and not the object of prophethood. So a Nabi doesn't come in this world to display miracles. A Nabi comes in this world to convey the message of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to guide the people. But of course, human nature, when a Nabi presents, people want to see something unique, outstanding, supernatural, extraordinary. And hence Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had blessed the different prophets alayhi salatu wassalam with different miracles to convince the people regarding his prophethood. Otherwise, the truth be told, the very personality and the very conduct and the very character of a Nabi itself will tell you about the station of prophethood. So the second miracle that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had blessed Sayyidina Musa alayhi salatu wasalam with was Yad-e Bayda. And that is exactly in verse 12 of chapter 27 from the 93 verses that we explore in. وَأَدْخِلْ and enter يَدَكَ your hand fi jaybik into your collar. So in other words, put your hand through inside your upper garment, into your collar, into your armpit. تَخْرُجْ بَيْضَى. Your hand will emerge white, bright, radiant. It will have this luminous light on it. مِنْ غَيْرِ سُوء. Without any illness, sickness, or disease. May Allah grant ease and afia to anyone and everyone. Sometimes it could be a skin condition. It could be a skin condition. Sometimes it could be leprosy. Sometimes it could be vitiligo or other related conditions. And we ask Allah for ease and afia for every person. Whoever has whatever condition, sometimes person has an eczema condition or other related things. So the Quran refutes that as your hand would exit in a sense of brightness, this brilliance will be impressive. It will be enviable. It will attract people. It will not have any form of defect or any form of illness or disease. Verse number 12. Adkhil enter yadaka your hand. Fi jaybika in your collar. Takhruj it will emerge. Bayda brilliant. Min ghayri su. Without any illness or disease. Fi tis'i ayatin. And this is amongst the nine signs. Ila fir'auna wa qawmi. to Fir'aun and his people. إِنَّهُمْ كَانُوا قَوْمًا فَاسِقِينَ. Indeed, Pharaoh and his people were a disobedient nation. إِنَّ فِرْعَوْنَ عَلَى فِي الْأَرْضِ. In chapter 28, Allah said in Surah Qasas, he was arrogant. وَجَعَلَ أَهْلَهَا شِيَعًا. He had divided people into different groups and rankings. يَسْتَضْعِفُ طَائِفَةً مِّنْهُمْ. He considered some people to be low and weak. And remember, there's a distinction here. I don't want to become too academic and philosophical, but a thought comes to my mind. So the Bani Israel were not weak. He perceived them to be weak. Remember that. Today also in the world, sometimes you see an oppressive nation perceiving others or classifying them as. And we live in a world where who has the right and the authority to decide who's the first world country and who's the second world country? And what are these lines of judgment? You know, how do we grade people? So there's a verse in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about the dialogue between the elite and the wealthy and the humble and the simple in the nation of Salih alayhi salam. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that وَقَالَ الْمَلَأُ الَّذِينَ اسْتَكْبَرُوا مِنْ قَوْمِهِ لِلَّذِينَ اسْتُضْعِفُوا لِمَنْ آمَنَ مِنْهُمْ. الْمَلَأُ meaning leaders. الْمَلَأُ عِبَارَةٌ عَنِ الْقَوْمِ تَمْتَلِئُ الْقُلُوبُ مِنْ هَيْبَتِهِمْ. So mala means the influential, the prominent, you know, those that had clout and muscle. The proud, the arrogant, the leaders said to لِلَّذِينَ اسْتُضْعِفُوا, to those who were perceived to be weak. مَعْنَاهُ أَنَّ غَيْرَهُمْ يَسْتَضْعِفُهُمْ وَيَسْتَحْقِرُهُمْ وَهَذَا لَيْسَ فِعْلًا صَادِرًا عَنْهُمْ فَهُوَ لَا يَكُونُ صِفَةَ ذَمٍّ فِي حَقِّهِمْ. Does it mention in Tafsir al-Kabir, Allama Razi speaks about this here, that the arrogant referred to the others as downtrodden. They were not downtrodden. They were not weak. People accused them of being weak. So this is not a sign of any defect on their side because they were not weak. This is how they were considered to be weak. And sometimes there are certain people in our social circles as well. They might be humble, they might be introvert. So people overlook them, and that is so wrong. That is so incorrect. So anyway, Pharaoh was proud. Pharaoh was arrogant. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّهُمْ كَانُوا قَوْمًا فَاسِقِينَ. He was from amongst the evil people. He had divided people. يُعَامِلُهُمْ مُعَامَلَةَ الْحَمِيرِ وَالدَّوَابِ. He treated them as animals. He treated them as animals. This is how he would deal with the Bani Israel. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had blessed Musa alayhi salam with two miracles now and seven other miracles which are referenced in chapter 7. In chapter 7, what were those other miracles? Because here Allah just makes the reference in verse 12 to the nine miracles that here's two amongst the other nine. وَلَقَدْ أَخَذْنَا آلَ فِرْعَوْنَ بِالسِّنِينَ وَنَقْصٍ مِّنَ الثَّمَرَاتِ. Drought and shortage of produce. This was two signs as well. Due to the evil and the wrong, there was divine affliction that was inflicted upon them. فَأَرْسَلْنَا عَلَيْهِمُ الطُّوفَانِ. At one stage it was drought, at another stage it was floods. And that's Allah's control. That's Allah's control. We know the famous hadith in Abu Dawood where the companion came to the Prophet ﷺ on a Friday and he said, O Prophet ﷺ, there's drought and there's famine and there's shortage of water. O Prophet of Allah, make dua for us. And the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam made dua. And it rained buckets. It rained buckets for one entire week. It was just raining and raining. Allama Abu al-Hasan Ali Nadwi, when he speaks about the floods of Nuh alayhi salam, he says, وَصَارَ السَّمَاءِ صَارَتِ السَّمَاءِ كَأَنَّهَا مِنْ خَلَى. It's like the sky became a strainer. The water is just seeping through. It's just pouring through. And a week later, the companion radiallahu anhu comes to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and he says, O Prophet of Allah, please ask Allah to halt the rain. It's been now just coming in buckets and volumes and in excess. And he sallallahu alaihi wasallam then read the beautiful dua, and it could only be the Prophet of Allah that could teach us this prayer. Allahumma hawalayna wala alayna. Allahumma ala al-akami wal ajami wal dhirabi wal awdiyati wa manabiti shajar. La ilaha illallah. Oh Allah, let it rain on the peaks of the mountains. Let it rain on the rooftops, O Allah. Let it rain over the plantations, O Allah. Meaning, let the rain come besides us and not upon us, so that it is beneficial and not destructive. So upon Pharaoh and his people came drought initially, shortage in produce, that were two other miracles. Then came floods. فَأَرْسَلْنَا عَلَيْهِمُ الطُّوفَانِ وَالْجَرَادِ. And then was the plague and the epidemic of locusts, right? They were just locusts everywhere. Wal jarad, wal qummal. Then were ticks, ticks or lice, as the scholars have mentioned. And you know, ticks can if a place is infested with it, it can be very agonizing and frustrating. Wal qummal, wal dhafadi', and then was frogs. ففي الطعام الضفادع وفي الشراب الضفادع وفي الملاوي. Everywhere were just frogs. You get to a place and it's you want to eat and it's just too much ants or flies or mosquitoes, and you get so frustrated and the entire outing gets so, you know, you're trying to intercept that fly or get rid of that mosquito, and you're using a mosquito swatter, and you know, it can become so frustrating. So Allah had incapacitated and paralyzed them and weakened them and destroyed them with frogs. What dam, and then blood. They would pick up a vessel of water and then it would be converted into blood. It would be converted into blood. And that would be so frustrating. Imagine you having a chilled drink, a soft drink, and you're just about to drink it, and then a fly falls inside. What happens to that? Or a hot cup of tea, you know, you prepared it, it was brewing on the stove for long, and finally you got it, and then, you know what, some speck of dirt fell into it, or something else, and immediately, you just don't want to drink that. So every time they would pick up water, it would become blood. So, في تسع آيات إلى فرعون وقومه. These are the 9 signs to Pharaoh and his people. إنهم كانوا قوما فاسقين. Indeed, they were disobedient people. Verse 13, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَلَمَّا جَاءَتْهُمْ آيَاتُنَا مُبْصِرَةً. When our verses came to them as eye-openers, مُبْصِرَةً, open, clear, vivid, eye-openers, قَالُوا, they said, هَذَا سِحْرٌ مُبِينٌ. This is obvious magic. This is clear-cut magic. So instead of taking the lesson, effecting the change, realizing that this is from the Almighty and it is a warning, فَمَا اسْتَكَانُوا لِرَبِّهِمْ وَمَا يَتَضَرَّعُونَ, that they didn't soften up, they didn't change their attitude, then that's the sign of the heart has been sealed, which the Quran sometimes refers to as ثُمَّ قَسَتْ قُلُوبُكُمْ, the hearts have been sealed. Sometimes the Quran says خَتَمَ, the hearts have been blocked. Sometimes the Quran says طَبَعَ, sometimes the Quran says فِي أَذَانِهِمْ وَقْرٌ, there's deafness in their ears. Akinna, there's a veil over their eyes. May Allah save us from that. May Allah save us from that. And when the heart reaches that point, then a person can see anything and everything. Nothing will change. I mean, Allah says the opening verses of the 8th juz of the Quran, right? Surah Al-An'am. وَلَوْ أَنَّنَا نَزَّلْنَا إِلَيْهِمُ الْمَلَائِكَةَ وَكَلَّبَهُمُ الْمَوْتَى وَحَشَرْنَا عَلَيْهِمْ كُلَّ شَيْءٍ قُبُلًا. وَلَوْ أَنَّنَا نَزَّلْنَا إِلَيْهِمُ الْمَلَائِكَةَ, if we were to send down the angels and the deceased had to stand up from their graves and speak to them, and we were to resurrect everything before them, paradise and hell, مَا كَانُوا لِيُؤْمِنُوا, they were still not going to believe. So here you have it, verse 13, فَلَمَّا جَاءَتْهُمْ آيَاتُنَا مُبْصِرَةً, when the verses came to them, مُبْصِرَة, clear-cut, open, قَالُوا, they concluded, هَذَا سِحْرٌ مُبِينٌ, this is open magic, this is obvious magic. What does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say in verse 14? And this actually then concludes the story of Musa alayhi salam in chapter 27. As I had mentioned yesterday, there will be few different stories and prophets. So this was quite a brief and comprehensive overlook of the tale of Sayyidina Musa alayhi salatu wa salam. Verse 14, وَجَحَدُوا بِهَا, they denied our verses. وَجَحَدُوا بِهَا, arrogantly and proudly, ظُلْمًا وَعُلُوَّا, right? وَجَحَدُوا بِهَا وَاسْتَيْقَنَتْهَا أَنفُسُهُمْ, yet their inner souls and in their inner hearts, they were convinced on the veracity of this year. So even they knew the truth. They knew the truth. They knew it was absolute. I always like to quote this year that the enemies and the adversaries of the Prophet ﷺ, they chose to refer to him with the most derogatory terminology. Yet they would come and leave their treasures and wealth by him. And they say, oh, you're a liar, you're a magician, you're a soothsayer, but you know what? We trust you the most. What? You're contradicting yourself. فَفِي الْوَقْتِ الَّذِي كَانُوا يُكَذِّبُونَهُ وَيَزْعُمُونَ أَنَّهُ سَاحِرٌ أَوْ كَذَّابٌ أَوْ مَجْنُونَ, لم يكونوا يجدون في من حوله من هو خير منه أمانة وصدقة، فكانوا لا يضعون حوائجهم وأموالهم التي يخافون عليها إلا عنده. So, ففي الوقت الذي كانوا يكذبونه, at the very moment in which they denied and belied, accused and they were blasphemous, they said, sorry man, you know what, we don't accept you, we don't believe in you, but please you look after my treasures, look after my wealth. So you contradicting yourself, you contradicting yourself. That means in the heart of hearts, you also know this man is the absolute truth, truthful, but you choosing to deny for other reasons. وَإِذَا مَسَّكُمُ الضُّرُّ فِي الْبَحْرِ ضَلَّ مَنْ تَدْعُونَ إِلَّا إِيَّا. Allah says, you choose to worship all your gods and isms and idols. But why is it in the center of the ocean when you engulfed by waves and you see the waters become rough and become turbulent? And now you know what? It's life and death. Why at that time you abandon your gods and you only call out to Allah? Because even you know in the heart of hearts, it's only Allah that can help. Your own action is the proof. فَلَمَّا نَجَّاكُمْ إِلَى الْبَرِّ أَعْرَضْتُمْ. But then when Allah takes you to shore, then you're arrogant. وَكَانَ الْإِنسَانُ كَفُورًا. And you're known and prone to do this. You're known and prone to do this here. Right? So verse 14, وَجَحَدُوا بِهَا. They deny the signs arrogantly. وَاسْتَيْقَنَتْهَا أَنفُسُهُمْ. Yet they inner selves knew that this is the truth. ظُلْمًا وَعُلُوًّا. Out of arrogance and out of oppression. Right? So ظُلْمًا and عُلُوًّا, there's a two difference, the scholars say. ظُلْمًا means فَظَلَمُوا بِهَا, as Allah makes mention in another verse of the Quran. They attacked the verses itself. They did not take the heed and the learning and the reflection from it. And عُلُوًّا means they elevated themselves above. No, we greater, we are more better and more superior. So they knew the truth, but they chose to deny it. فَانْظُرْ كَيْفَ كَانَ عَاقِبَةُ الْمُفْسِدِينَ. So Allah says, now you reflect. You know, when you have storybooks, they lived happy ever afterwards, and this is where it ended, and that's the end of it. How does the Quran end? The Quran always ends on this year. What was the outcome finally? What was the outcome finally? Person, won the lottery and then died as a pauper on the street. A person had all the fame in this world, and then in the end, he committed suicide. He was found lying in his own hotel room with a gun that he had pulled on himself. And these things happen constantly. So the Quran constantly invites you, in the end, what happened? In the end, what happened? And you would realize and observe and see, my brother and my sister, whoever does wrong, they might run, they might be loud, they might be expressive, they might be vocal. But a time comes where the Quran says, هَلْ تُحِسُّ مِنْهُمْ مِنْ أَحَدٍ أَوْ تَسْمَعُ لَهُمْ رِكْزًا. Can you even hear them whisper today? Those that were proud, were mocking, scoffing at other people, even in family circles, those who would look down on others in a condescending way. And then things changed. And then their children came and other children. And then see how they were rocked and plagued. And that entire family got fragmented. And those who thought and perceived and assumed they were on top and they reigned supreme. Allah changed the dynamics totally. So Allah concludes it. Verse 14, فَانْظُرْ, reflect and see. كَيْفَ كَانَ عَاقِبَةُ الْمُفْسِدِينَ. What was the final outcome of evildoers? It was غَرْق in this world and حَرْق in the latter. Drowning in this world and burning in akhirah. May Allah protect us.